Let's welcome Reverend Samson Ajetomobi. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Please keep standing. We want to thank God for the privilege to be part of Wolfbeck this year. Can we celebrate Pastor Okpoju, our chief hosts, and of course, the dear wife. Thank you, sir, for obeying the Lord, and what you see here, nations will rejoice for this obedience. We thank you for all that you do for the kingdom. And he is a pastor. You see the way he leads the meeting. I'm learning so much from you in this short time. Thank you for being a pastor and for being a great blessing. Amen. All right, we'll read the word of God together and then we'll take off this session, trusting God to help us. Daniel chapter 5. We'll read just two verses and then that will guide our takeoff. And then we would be ready to build on that. Verse 10 and verse 11 of Daniel. And then I'll read 11, we all read 12, and then we'll be good to go. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, please, you are covering me, the cameraman, okay. And said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Verse 11, everybody. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayer. Shall we pray? Father, honor your word this morning. Give strength to your word. In hearing, help us to hear your voice. In seeing, help us to see to your secrets. In understanding, quicken our hearts. And make every life a beneficiary of this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. You may be seated. Thy kingdom come. Please welcome Dr. David Ogbueli. Thank you, sir. Nice to see you. Praise God. Okay. Thy kingdom come. And there have been various dimensions since this conference began. If there's anything I try to do, is to keep searching in my spirit and pray, Lord, what more can I contribute to what is going on here? I don't just want to preach like a professional. I want to be sure I'm receiving what you may not even understand it yet, but it will be an input that God felt this portion need to be added. So I've been largely very discerning in my spirit. And I have not spoken like a theologian or somebody somewhere. I just hear from the spirit. That's been my biggest strength over the year. And so what I'm sharing here today is what the Lord persuaded my spirit to say, add this to it. So I'm adding to it as I heard. Is that okay? So here was Daniel. Say, there's a man in your kingdom and he's a different human species. So when we're talking about the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of his Christ, the two will coexist in the same realm because the kingdom of heaven came. thy kingdom come. So that lifestyle, that kingdom, as it is in heaven, is coming to the earth and is going to dwell in men. And those men will confront the existing kingdoms. Do you understand my thought line? So that's where the journey begins from. And if you read in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, Daniel was there when Nebuchadnezzar had a strange dream that explains 5 kingdoms from the head of gold down to the various parts of the human body, down to the feet of clay and iron. And he couldn't interpret it. And then they brought Daniel, finally, to come help. I love what Daniel said in chapter 2, from verse 44. In fact, from verse 43. When they brought him before the king, and he began to tell the king the meaning of his dreams, and he says, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with mercury, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Look at the next verse. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Look at the next verse. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it breaks in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God had made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So there are kingdoms that exist one after the other. But the king himself, not Daniel, had a revelation of a little tiny stone cut out of the big stone. And that stone has power to invade the entire globe. And we are that little stones. Because the kingdom of God has come into our heart like a seed. And as that seed begins to grow, and begins to grow, is going to fill the whole earth. And Revelation painted better. It said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. So there's going to be a movement. There's going to be a new generation of people rising out of Wolfberg this year, who will take territories and take kingdoms, and they will begin like not looking like it. So anybody who despises you is making the biggest mistake. Because in the beginning, you will not look like it. Seed is usually buried to the ground and it's assumed dead until it begins to sprout. This is your year of sprouting. Yeah. Until it begins to sprout and begin to open up. So when that happened, the king fell on the ground for worship for the accuracy of the dream and the interpretation. And when that happened, the king promoted Daniel. That was the first time Daniel began to sit with the elders and decision makers in Babylon. And he served 4 kings, one man alone, brought the kingdom of God to a very troubled Babylon, made so much impact, so much influence. He wasn't pulling the trigger of a gun, but by the words of his mouth, by his counsel, by his quiet business boardroom meeting, he was changing the policies of nations, changing decision direction of the nation of Babylon. Known so well for idol worship in Babylon, yet Daniel influenced the king so much, the king fell and gave worship to the God whom Daniel served. That is when the kingdom has come. In chapter 5, where we read, there was a trouble. The king and Johnny himself. This is the son now. And Johnny himself. And suddenly, a hand appeared and put up a writing on the wall, and alcohol cleared. I'm telling you, there are certain levels, certain experiences in life that even if you are under any form of influence, it will clear. The eyes of this man cleared off. And the Bible says he was so troubled and very disturbed. And they call all the wise men in his kingdom, the astrologers, the soothsayers, all kinds of people. He gathered them together and said, interpret this handwriting. And that's the truth. Life has many riddles. It required an interpreter. So you see people running their lives somehow and they can't understand why things are the way they are. Until the riddles are dissolved, people see life like a mystery. Say, I don't understand what is wrong with me. So he began to speak to her. So the queen ran and said, sir, don't be troubled. Don't be worried. There is a man. Where? In your kingdom. This man, he had understanding of mysteries, deep things, and he can interpret it. He says, this is the same Daniel that helped your father. Even your father, in the hour of his confusion, by the grace of God, God will raise us as solution makers. That a company is getting stuck, they said, go and bring the ED, because that guy, apart from being the ED, he has a life in him and he can solve riddles. And then he will come in there, and as they search it, he will give an advice. Sir, do this, do this, do this, and the riddles get resolved. And from being an ED, you might be invited to become a partner of the same company and give you a part of that company because you have provided a solution. So there's a man in your kingdom. He could dissolve hard matters. That is when the kingdom has come to a man's heart. He will solve hard matters. He could interpret. It says light and understanding was in him. So when he looks at things, he sees beyond what people are saying. He can see something deeper, something stronger. Now my interest here, looking at the man Daniel in the kingdom of Babylon, carrying the kingdom of God to undertake in a strange kingdom, is the fact that the Bible says in where we read, it says the magicians, the astrologers, the chaldeans, the soothsayer, these were all his colleagues, and he was never afraid to have colleagues who are diviners. He was never afraid to have colleagues who are soothsayers. So you don't have to be afraid of it. He's not afraid to have colleagues who are very diabolical, and then he will now start to do emergency fasting and prayer. No, the kingdom lives in him. And when you carry God, you don't struggle with man. The kingdom was in him. His colleagues at work, his immediate boss, his contemporaries, his subordinates, they were all men and women who owned allegiance to different kinds of other spirits and God. In life, people carry different spirits around. I hope you know that. But Daniel wasn't afraid. In fact, I love the way he put it. He said, his father made him master of them. It was the HOD of every other staff under him who were diviners, occultic people, satanists, and all kinds of people. But Daniel was never moved. He had God and was strong in God because he understood the dealings of carrying God's presence into a foreign land. What interests me about Daniel is that not so much is known about his parental background, but was such a disciplined young man. So we're not told how the parents raised him. He was a prisoner of war, just found himself in Babylon, and somehow he will not corrupt himself. God is raising a generation of believers who will walk in the darkest part of the earth, and yet their light will shine. And the enemy will not be able to put them down, no matter the inflow politics. And you will recall Daniel in chapter 6 was the same man that said, you can't get this man except by his God. Because when it comes to his job, he's up to it. He's focused, he's skillful, always improving himself. The company will find it difficult to do without him because of his contributions, not because of his name. Are you hearing me? Because of his input, the difference he makes everywhere he stands. So that the only way you can get this man except by his God. Don't forget, he was described as having light and understanding. In the days of trouble, it is the light you access that helps you. So finally, he was thrown into the prison with the lions. But before he went, I love what he did. He pulled off his curtain and bowed his knees in prayer. Everyone who can pray will look like the one you pray to. So every time you are praying, that's why Matthew 17, when Jesus bowed his knees in prayer, the Bible says his countenance was altered. His garment was altered. His eyes were shining differently. Some spiritual persons appeared to validate him to his disciples. Because when you are prayerful, you will be Godful. And when you pray, there will be alteration. You will start thinking like the one you are praying to. You will start seeing life from the perspective of the one you are praying to. You will start seeing situation. I don't know if I've ever been afraid here before. We have. We're coming from Ibadan to Lagos. Broadly afternoon. And I had a strange feeling in my spirit. As soon as we take off from Ibadan. So I found myself singing songs they sing at burial. I say, how? We're going for a meeting. Why am I singing the common songs in burial at the riverside? And I was singing it. I'm always saying, what kind of song? I said, I don't know why my spirit is singing it. So I said, let's keep praying. So we started praying. We're praying in tongues. Myself, my wife, one of our staff in the front, and the driver, four of us, were praying. As we kept praying in the spirit, just to check why that song. Do you understand? Just to check. We're praying. And then I felt God has helped us. We just stopped the prayer, and then we ran to this bad spot on the Lagos Express Road. And here were armed robbers at close range. This is not dream, life. Close range. And they didn't spear us. They just opened fire immediately. And shot the car continually. And as soon as that happened, my wife and I and the other, I said, just bow down your head and be shouting Jesus. And I told the driver, if the car didn't stop, don't stop. And they kept shooting, hit the windscreen, hit the side glass where we're seated, every part of the body. It wasn't a bulletproof car. It wasn't, but the car was moving. And we moved and drove through that place and escaped. So when we left, they were saying, do I park? And I said, don't park until we get to our destination. Whatever made that car move, we need to not to break it. Let's carry it to where we're going. When we came out of the car, there was no scratch on our car. Windscreen didn't crack. The side glass didn't break. There was no penetration. My wife lay on the ground and was rolling. That said, God, this can only be you. When you are prayerful, if you beg God enough, God will defend your cause. So I can tell you, there is power if a man is genuine in the kingdom. Most times I preach, I use my stories because I don't know other people's story. But I just say what happened to me. Say the thing we have seen, we have handled, are the things we declare. We didn't feel so much about what God, the deliverance God did for us, until 2 weeks later, after, we're in England, our daughter was graduating, our third child was graduating in law. And then we stood at the graduating hall. And then they said, we need to take a minute silence for somebody who died. He had an accident and died. Then I look at my wife. That could be us. They will have been doing 1 minute silence for us here because the two of us wouldn't be here. Then I broke down and started crying. That was the time I felt the weight of the deliverance that God offered us. You know, there are many things God make you survive. You don't feel the weight yet until after a while, some other event happened and you are comparing note with note. I said, you mean I went through all this and I stood? When you are in the kingdom, you not just exercise power to heal, to protect other people, you enjoy power to keep yourself safe. Daniel survived the lion's den because of prayerfulness. Prayer dismisses or gradually reduces your fear tendency. So every time fear increases, pray more. The two cannot coexist. The more you pray, the more your fear level drops. And the reason we have not enjoyed so much of God at times is fear. Don't embarrass yourself. Supposing nothing happened. You got what I'm saying here? Don't embarrass yourself. And because you don't want to embarrass yourself, you just teach and walk away. Are you hearing me? I'm going to be saying certain things God told me. Pastor Kojo, I just say what God tells me. I just pray. I'm sure you're a spiritual man. You'll be able to pick what I'm saying. I'll be saying a few things God put in my heart to say at the end of this meeting. And I'm going to ask you to watch those words. And when they come to pass, let Pastor know, I will also know. Are you hearing me? So it's so important that the more spiritual, Daniel was a very spiritual man. The king came back the following day, and I love what the king said. As the God whom you serve, please, any opportunity to serve, serve. You never can tell the day the God whom you serve will show up to serve you. The king announced, as the God whom you serve, been able to deliver you. And that king has a lot of faith. To think a man who slept with lions overnight will respond after making such a statement. That's a lot of faith. Quietly, I think that king believed in the God of Daniel already. That is able to save. So he was expecting. And that's how faith works. Faith keeps you expecting. You are very expectant. Every time there is a situation, faith helps you to be expectant. So you got a reply. And the reply was very simple. Live forever, O King, because God had found no fault in me, that all I suffered was in defense of your kingdom among men. And because of that, God have sent his angels to shut the mouth of lion. And when you choose to live the life of the kingdom, you will enjoy divine presence. My biggest lesson in life is that God do not walk alone. Every time God is going anywhere to answer his son's prayer, he goes with uncountable number of angels. He goes with the 24 elders. He goes with men blowing the trumpet and burning the incense. Now they want to come rescue one son who have said, Lord, for your name's sake, I'm sent into the lion's den. And so all the elders take off, all the worshipers in heaven takes off, because God is going to check what has happened to the voice of the man praying to him. So every time God moves, he moves in the company of host of heaven. And then they took off and they were shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they blow the sax and blow the sound, and God walk in the power of that worship. And he says, we're going to Daniel. They just put him into the lion's den. We're going to meet him and fellowship with him. May you carry his presence. For me, that is the definition of a Christian. A man will carry the presence of God. So that was Daniel. Came unto the king in chapter 5 and said, King, I will interpret this handwriting. But the king was trying to bamboozle him. I said, listen, I will give you this. I said, keep your gift with you. Look, the first thing in life is not gifts. Keep your gifts. Keep your money. Let me represent God first. If I can represent God, he will take care of the rest. Let me stand in for God first. And may God raise you from here to stand for him first. Amen. Everywhere you enter, you will stand for him first. Amen. Give another case study, and I will begin to tie this meeting. In John chapter 1, verse number 6 and number 7, the Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7, the same came for what? A witness. To be a witness of the light. That all men, how many men? All. What does all imply? Does that include all other religion on earth? All men might believe. All men. The gospel is for all. It's not for few people. No, it's for all. But those who will reach all are the kingdom carriers. Men who have embraced the kingdom of God. So John stood as a testifier. He was a strong man. His kind of ministry was different. And he got his base right there in the wilderness, baptizing people in a little river. And all kinds of men came to his church. John was an amazing man. He got military officers in his congregation. He got custom officers. He got kings who visit services in his church. And they were all seated to hear the ministry of John the Baptist. And he began to teach and preach to them. He was such a strong man. After every sermon, there is a conscience that pricks everybody. Because if the word is available, your heart will always be helped at every service. But if the word is not available, then it's just going to leave you the way you are. Every moment you encounter God in service, something must be added to you that make you a better product. that makes you a better product. So that was John. He was bearing witness to Jesus' life and ministry, and he was offering to the people the gospel to make all of them believe. And what could John be preaching? In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he was preaching God to the people by speaking the Word. So every time we open the Word, we'll open the life and nature of God to man. You look at in verse 2 and verse 3 to 4 of the same John chapter 1. If you look at verse 2, he says something interesting. He said the same was in the beginning with God. So this Word that we preach today was the same Word that God said from the beginning. Let there be light. He spoke it to be. God himself is his Word. Are you still here? God himself is his Word. So he spoke it and began to do some strange thing. I mean, John the Baptist, as he was preaching. And then very interesting for me, when you read verse number four of John 1 is the best scripture I ever knew all my life, because I saw it life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. That's my best scripture, sir. That's what I can preach best, even in my dream. Why? We went on the mission field with 16 men. And they warned us upon arrival. The king called me and said, young man, you want to do crusade here? We don't embrace Jesus here. Life discussion. I will advise you to leave, because the people of this land don't embrace Jesus, and we're wicked people. So leave. King to the guy that wants to come and preach. So I said, okay. So we stayed some kilometers away to the town, and then we will come in, set up our crusade. And I told the king, let us do what we want to do. Don't worry. It doesn't matter how terrible the land is. God loves you people. He has sent us out of love. And says, okay. He didn't answer us again, but he didn't stop us. So we set up our stage, and then I was preaching. Can you imagine doing a crusade in a community and you are preaching and nobody attends your crusade except your team? Nobody shows up. But I kept preaching. I'll preach and close. Just me and our team, 16 of us. Nobody attended for 9 days. You see, when you talk of being a Christian, your staying power matters. How long can you stay on the Word of God? How long can you say, I am persuaded that neither death or life will stop what God has said? What is your staying power like? 9 days, no human being attended our crusade. But we saw a strange thing on the 9th day. The whole town came out in different satanic wares, carrying all kinds of horn. And I asked the king, what is happening here? He said, we're doing a procession because you have refused to go. And then we have our highest altar. It's called the Covenant of the 9th day. We have these testimonies on video. It's the covenant of the... He said, when we go out, we will service all the altars in the land, and the covenant of the 9th day will become effective because we had warned you. I said, hey, how does it look like to hear the announcement of your death and you are still there? So I said, no problem, sir. And then we went back to our base on the 9th day in the night. We don't sleep in that land. We do night vigil every night. You can't sleep. Sleep care. So we had, while preparing to start night vigil on the ninth day, there was this strange breeze at night. That was about 10 p.m. or thereabout, 9 p.m. Strange breeze blew into where we were. And I just saw human beings falling down like packs of paper. All our men, 15 of them, I'm number 16, fell and died. Sir, I cried. I said, God, how do I return back? And he said, where are the men who went with you? He said, the Lord is in control. Of what? I'm talking of physical dying. Not fainted, died. Some of them have food in their hands, fell with the food in their hand, and died. The church must do more on spiritual warfare. We must teach more on spiritual warfare. We're having a generation who have not fought enough battles. So there we were. White tears run out of my eyes. God said to me, clean up your eyes. Then I had that verse. 3 times, John 1:4, John 1:4, John 1:4. I ran, picked my Bible, open to John 1:4. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. And God said, say that to each life. So I go to each person. In him was life. Was the light of man. He will wake up. Then I go to the next person. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. He will wake up. And all 15 men came back to life. They are still alive. One of them is in this meeting we're running now. All the 15 are still alive. When I saw that, fear gripped my heart. On the 10th day, when we came to the crusade, the king said, did any hard thing happen yesterday? I said, were you expecting anything? You don't give answer to a suspected enemy. I said, were you expecting anything? He said, I just want to find out. I said, no problem, we're all here. Then he says, since you are all here, I'll be coming to the crusade today. On the 10th day, Pastor Kwaju, what I saw, I've never seen it anywhere else. On the 10th day, the king himself mobilized the whole town. It's not a small town. The whole town who never showed up for 9 days of preaching crusade to empty air because the word cannot return back void. If it is his word, it can't come back void. The king took the mic from me and said to the whole people, if I be your king, this is your newfound savior. The gospel this man brought has become our gospel. And they destroy all their idols. I saw bonfire of idol, the volume I've never seen anywhere. Today, the gospel had thrived strongly in that land. When you get there and you ask these stories, they will say, one man came here. His name is Jesus is here. Jesus Wambi. They don't know my real name. Because all I said then is, Jesus asked us to come. Jesus is here. That is carrying the life of the kingdom. So when you read that scripture, anytime I'm reading John 1 and I stumble at that verse 4, that thing plays back in my memory. Do you know what I'm talking about? To see how powerful that scripture is. And that's part of what God asked me to use to pray with you today. Before I leave here. Anything die in your body, life is coming. Life is coming. Life is coming. In him was life, and the life is the light of man. When you carry him, you carry life, you carry light, you carry life, you carry light, you carry life, you carry light. That's what it is. That is it. So we walk by the power of his word. That was a man sent from God. The day you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that day you've been sent. You have been sent to be a witness, to tell your story to your neighbor. I said, I used to be this before. Now I'm born again. I have God in me. So will you also accept Jesus? Everyone saved is already recruited as a witness. That everywhere you enter, the gospel has come. You offer by telling your story. By telling what? Your story. I told our members, I say, witnessing is not difficult. It's just your own story. I say, I used to be a drunkard before. One day I met Jesus. He changed my life. He can change your life also if you can trust him. That's all. You have witness. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. Sit down a moment. Let me tie out this meeting so that we can pray. There's a man sent from God. His name was John. The same man was sent to be a witness of the man Jesus he has accepted. Anytime, and that's one of the proof that the kingdom of God has come into you, is you want somebody else to come to the same kingdom. There's an excitement in you. There is a joy in you that somebody else has to come into the same kingdom. Very important. And for me, that's one of the acid tests to see a passionate believer who cherish and value his salvation, and he can't stand his parents go to hell. He can't stand his brothers go to hell. He can't stand his colleagues go to hell. Because he is a witness. He can watch it happen. And that's one of the ways to even show gratitude to your parents, because they didn't know God. They train you and produce a champion out of you. And today you know God. You must offer him. You must offer him. You must offer your people the same Lord that changed your life. I'd like you to take very seriously that everything on earth have ears and they hear words. Both living and non-living things, they have ears. And in the spiritual realm, they can hear you. Are you hearing me? So when Ezekiel ran into trouble of the valley of dry bone, in 37, verse number 4, the Lord was speaking to him and said to him, Ezekiel, prophesy and say, O ye dry bones, do what? Oh, you didn't sound military enough. O ye dry bones, do what? So bones have ears and they can hear words. Either physically twisted bones or spiritually twisted bones, both have ears. And they can hear. Do you understand that? Jesus walked into a village with his disciples in Mark chapter 11. And he says, I can see my spirit. There is a donkey tied that have served nobody. Go loose him and bring him. Then he quickly said to them, there are men supervising that life so that he will not advance. They will spend all their life to keep that life on one spot. All such men will lose their job today. Amen. He said, they will challenge you, and then you say to them, you see, what you say matters. You say to them, you say nothing, nothing happens. To the dry bone, he said, say to it. Is that okay? Say to it. That's why your faith plays out. Everyone who is a Christian must be familiar with saying, and please make your word the last word. No matter what the enemy says, speak last. Speak last. Speak last. So you will find certain men there, and those men will resist you because you want to set a life free. He said, you will say to them, the Lord has need of this life. You will say to them. If he didn't say anything, he will be fighting physically with those men and they can overpower him. But there's a word that the strength of men cannot resist. You will say to them. And they got there. It was just the same way. And they said to them. And they released the donkey. And then they saw a tree. Desire to eat from it. But there was nothing, no fruit at that time. And he said to it. I'm stressing the word, say to it. Say to it. Everything, living or non-living, have ears. Say to it. Say to it. And he said to it, nobody eats from you again. Wow. We have a tree that fell. That tree is huge. But they serve it. The enemy serve that tree. It has things on it. Once they consult it, can you imagine trees have ears? These are unbeliever, wicked people. When they consult it and speak to the tree, it releases a sting. No matter where you are in the world, that thing will find you and sting you. And that's the end. Big tree. And I was preaching opposite the tree. Our stage was like this. That was the tree. I didn't know. Pastor Kwaju, there are many things I don't know. But I just pick some things in my spirit. And once I can pick it, I'm never afraid to say it. Even if it gives me disadvantage, I'm never afraid to say it. So I pick it. So this tree. So I said, the Bible says, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. And any tree the Lord has not planted, we cut you down today. Do you hear my English? When did we cut it down? We finished and I left. When we arrived the following day, till tomorrow, nobody can explain. The tree had fallen physically. That same night. Physical falling. Not fell in the spirit. Physically fell. A lot of our friends overseas flew into Nigeria to go see the tree and do a video with it and say, how can a man speak word? And a tree of this size came down. That's to tell you the power of the word of God. Be familiar with the word. Did you hear me? Be what? Be familiar with the word. Be familiar with the word. That makes it. So trees have ears. That's what I'm stressing. And they can hear. Is that well understood? Then Jesus said to them, if thou will have faith like a little seed of mustard seed, you will say. Pick that word, say. Say. I hope you will say something when we start praying. You will say, oh ye mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and if you will not doubt in your heart, you will have what you say. You say nothing, you have nothing. You say something, you have many things. As you say it, the Lord honors it. Look at the Jordan River. The children of Israel came under leadership of Joshua, put their feet there, and the river opened when they spoke to it. Then Elijah came in his days. He was finishing his ministry and confronted the same river and just struck it, and the river heard and obeyed. Elisha coming back, he also looked at, if Oga can do this thing, the boys too can do it. You understand? And that's the truth. Watch closely your pastor and attempt what he's attempting under his guide. Is that well understood? So Elisha swing also. Jordan, oh yeah, here. And it opened up. So see, rivers have ears. They can hear word. How many have I told you? Bones have ears. What did they hear? Talk to me. Human being, human agent have ears. What did they hear? Words. The tree have ears. What did the tree had? Words. And of course, the mountains have ears. And what did they hear? They hear words. So it's very important that you don't close your mouth. Why? Words are spirit. Words are spirit. John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. That's very important. Words are spirit. See, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words. You see it again? The words that I do what? That I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. So every time the word is spoken, what leaves your mouth? Spirit and life. What leaves your mouth? Spirit and life. So when that takes off and he meets a disease or he meets a painful situation, what does that word supply to that situation? Spirit and life. So the first thing that word does is to dismiss the spirit that sustained that crisis. Anybody understand what I just said here? Is to dismiss the spirit that sustained it. Every issue you see in life has spiritual bearings and dimensions. That's why this word is ruled by words. Nobody fired the first trigger without a commanding officer say, shoot! That is words. So words are powerful, more powerful than any weapon you can ever imagine anywhere. It's so important. Therefore, look at the very interesting one in John chapter 5, verse 25, when it says, even dead lives will hear the word of God. And if they hear, they will live. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall what? Shall live. But they need to hear. But the person is already dead. So how does he hear? There is a way you communicate spirit to spirit. And he will hear. And once there is a voice of the spirit that reaches the other person, something begins to happen. Something begins to happen. And this is the beauty of Wolfberg this year. That men will leave this meeting carrying the kingdom of God within them. And when they carry the kingdom, they will bring life everywhere they go. Amen. Let me close you with this scriptures. Jeremiah 15, 16. I close you with that so that we have a little time to pray. Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found. Anybody hungry in the house? Not hunger for biscuits and for fried rice, but hungry for the word of God. Your words were found, and I ate them. I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy word was found, and I ate it. And I ate it. And I ate it. I started something in our church, quoting a chapter of the Bible every day. All our workers on the roll, they're on list. It will come to your turn. You can't escape, and you must not miss church when it's your turn. So it's part of the service. It's part of the service. So every Sunday, somebody's on the roll. And then he comes after announcement. We say, today, reading the word of the Lord is our dear brother, so and so. And the guy comes up and starts quoting. I'm reading from Tosso chapter, from verse 1 to, of course, it must be to the end. And the rest of us are judges. We all open our Bible. You must pick where there is comma, semicolon, selah. You must make reference to them. One day, a brother's turn came. And he said, today I will be reading Psalm 119 from verse 1 to the end. And we all opened the scriptures following him. And this guy didn't miss one word. Where there is full stop, he put full stop. When he finished, because we give you liberty to quote more than one chapter. When he finished, he went to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. The whole church stood up and said, hey, what is happening here? That's how to groom our people. Our people know too many things, but not enough of the word. I found your word. I fed on them. Because out of the abundance of the heart, you will speak. If there is emptiness in the inside, you got nothing to say in the days of trouble. Are you ready to pray? Stand up, let's pray. Let me sing a Yoruba song. I'll give you the interpretation later. It says, Iyere, 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 O Lord of Jesu, Iyere. It's okay. I'm not doing a special number. I'm trying to say something to you. That song says, this is life. This is life. Iye means life. This is life. This is life. Life from Jesus. This is life. Do you understand that word? This word is now? This is life. So are you ready to pray? Lift up your hands to heaven and let's thank him first for his word that came to us. Give him praise. Give him praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank him for what your ears have heard. Thank him for the decision you will make out of this message. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. He is worthy. He is worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Lift up your hands to heaven and say, Father, I believe your word. I therefore declare, anything dying around me, let the life of God undertake for me. I speak life. I speak healing. I speak my deliverance. I speak life. I speak my healing. I speak my deliverance. Can you lift up your voice and pray and clap your hands to the Lord as you pray and declare life? I speak life. I speak healings. I speak deliverances. I speak for the help of God. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the bones. Speak to the trees. Speak the word. Speak the word. Baraba shanda katia. Leke prasa katuse. Libaka kurasta frikia. I speak life. Speak to every area of your life. Whatever is not working well, begin to speak to it. God will hear you and the situation will hear you. Begin to speak the word of God. I speak life. I speak healing. I speak deliverances. I seek divine intervention. I shut the mouth of lions. I shut the mouth of lions and all my enemies. Speak life. Speak life. In Jesus' name we pray. Now I ask you one question before I pray. Do you believe what you said?
Yes.
You believe what you say is going to happen?
Yes.
Then lift up your hand as I pray. Father, honor your word at this hour. I have shared your faithfulness with this congregation in so many areas of our lives. You were true to us. So let it come to pass now. That everyone under the sound of my voice, let that be a supernatural intervention. Let he that has no womb receive a fresh womb. Let he that has twisted bone, let the bones be corrected. Let every resistance on your part be dissolved. Let there be healing, cleansing of your blood. Cleansing, cleansing. I see a case of a blood disease. There's a cleansing taking place. The Lord is cleansing the blood in the name of Jesus. Every door that has shut at you that you needed, I command the doors to open. I command the doors to open. I command the doors to open. In the name of Jesus. Everywhere you go, you will be bold to be a witness. You will speak for Jesus. The Lord will confirm the words of your mouth with signs following. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. And amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Pudge, for this. God bless you.